What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Jess Woodland. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for hopping on. I've been looking forward to this one.
Dude, me too.
Yeah. I guess just to start out, just what have you been up to lately? Busy writing, busy playing shows? What have you been up to?
Man, I don't ever stop writing. I write all the time. But I did just play my first show as Jess Woodland, which is my birth name, a couple weeks ago. So that was awesome. But now I'm just starting to amp that kind of thing up.
Okay, right on. That's awesome. So I was doing some research on you before this, and I found out you are from the Nashville area, right?
Yep, I was born on West End.
Okay, right on. So when you were, and do you still live there?
Yeah, I do. I live north now, but yeah.
Okay, so I always like to know about artists when they like first started to really, you know, come up, and like when they, like the area around them. Obviously, with yours being Nashville, you know, a lot has been said about Nashville already. But in your experience, I guess just like what has your experience been like so far coming up in such like a scene like Nashville is? It seems overwhelming to me.
It's extremely overwhelming. You know, there's so much I could say about Nashville. I'm going to try and be kind and truthful at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do love it here. I mean, it was where I was born, and I've lived here my whole life. But with it being Nashville, I think everybody does music, and it's not appreciated the way it is in other places, which is a little bit of a shame. So I just played my first show as Jess Woodland in Nashville, and that was a horrifying thought. And that's something that I really don't do a lot of, just because of the scene here. Whereas I went to North Carolina a week after I played that show, and it was just a whole different experience. You know, I believe that we have a great support system here, but you have to dig, because everybody's playing shows, everybody's doing something in music, you know. And I don't know, as somebody who's a local, I've seen this place change quite a bit, and there's a lot I could say about that too. But I don't know, it was part of, honestly, growing up and living here and being surrounded by the talent that's here is one of the reasons that I stopped doing music for so long. So I have a love-hate relationship with it. It's taught me a lot, and yeah, it's also made me suffer just a little bit. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. So like when I think of that, I'm from Cincinnati. Okay. So I get to Nashville every so often. I try to, and I've lived in Texas. I've lived in Oklahoma, and they have their own music scenes out there. And even they, especially like nowadays, like I feel like it's very oversaturated, if that's a word for it. Like it gets very diluted a bit. And yeah. I could imagine, is that kind of the case? Like you said, you have to dig. And I think that's like the best way to put it. Is that kind of the case for Nashville too?
Yeah, dude, it is. It really is. I mean, I think as a consumer of music, I definitely take the shows that come here for granted. Also can't afford to go to any of the shows that come here, truthfully. But I do take the shows here for granted, and I think a lot of other consumers do, you know. And then as a musician, I mean, you're a dime a dozen, it feels like. I think that was another reason that I stopped for so long, was I felt like, what could I bring to the table that nobody else has here? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have everything. Yeah, we might be known for country music, but man, there's so many other scenes here that are crazy and not talked about enough. And it is historically, and I'm not going to be the only one that says this, it's going to be one of the lowest turnouts for attendance in your shows. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's very saturated. It's a great place artistically, but also at the same time, you've got a lot of it. So yeah.
Yeah. And is it more of well, first off, going off the how it is more than just country music, that's something I found out and was very pleasantly surprised. Like the metal scene there even is pretty nuts. Like,
brother. And you know what's so funny is that nobody talks about that enough, first of all. And my husband's actually in the metal scene. He plays black metal.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I go to metal. I've been going to metal concerts here, though, since I was like 15, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but there's an insane, and it's a dedicated fan group. That's what I was going to say. You will get some turnout, but it's going to be the people that are devoted to that. So in the metal scene, there's some hardcore people that go to those shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I got my first taste of it. It was actually like the first time I went to Nashville, I think, years ago. And I went to the, you know, had to hit up Broadway like everyone has to on their first time. And hell, I think it was on Broadway, the Johnny Cash Bar. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I went in there. It was like towards the end of the night. And of course, there's two floors. And the first floor had like the party, like pop country band that just plays all the, you know, fun party songs. Went up the stairs and there's like a fucking punk show going on. And like, yeah. it was nuts. And like, I was very pleasantly surprised by that.
Dude, there's a venue here. And I can't remember. It used to be called, I don't even want to say what it used to be called because I might botch it. But it's it's a venue because it's changed over the years. It's a venue that has three floors to it. Mm. The tallest one up top is the high watt, I believe. There's a middle one and there's one below. And at any given night, there's going to be three different shows happening. So this building is just full of sound. And each one of those levels is bound to have a different sound come out of it. I think I saw Manchester Orchestra on one of them. And then there might have been like an R&B happening on the on the floor next to it. And so on and so forth, like singer-songwriter on the top. So it's sick. We don't talk about the diversity of music that happens here. People really do think it's just country and pop country at that. But no, there's a lot more to what we have here, you know. And the locals will know that. They just got to know where to go.
For sure. And like, and that's, like I said, like that was like the coolest surprise for me because like Ray's Rowdy, like what we do this for is country music media outlet, but I am such like a rock and metal guy. I like country music, don't get me wrong, but like I like rock and metal music way more. So like I got to Nashville, I'm like, oh shit, okay, I do dig it here, like they got my kind of stuff. But that's awesome. And a little bit more on like the Nashville scene, how is it like when you weigh the community aspect and like the sense of community versus like the competition, kind of like, is it more leaning towards like a close community culture kind of thing? Or is it all like kind of dog eat dog kind of thing? Like with the competition aspect,
you're talking about like music wise, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I was you know, it's funny that you brought this up. Cause I was just thinking about this the other day. Cause I travel a lot. Actually, I have a goal of going to all 50 states. And I've been to 33 or 34 of them now. Oh, wow. I have them mapped. I have them mapped in my room. But we have a community like no other. It really is. People lift people up and support each other. And that's just the community in general. When it comes to the community in music, that's something that I'm just now stepping into it. But as I step into it, I really do see the same kind of thing where it's very supportive. I personally haven't run into anybody that's just there to lift themselves up. And a long time ago, if you would have asked me this question, I would have been like, from the outside looking in, it looks like a ladder that every man's for himself, that they're all climbing. Yep. And it seems just like one big networking thing that seems very inaltruistic to me and something that I wasn't really interested in, which is another reason that I stopped doing music for so long, because I didn't want to be a part of that. But as I think the community has possibly changed over the years. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But now that I'm more immersed in it, it's very much so a supportive community. I haven't really run into anything that has put a bad taste in my mouth. Which is such an awesome thing to say, truthfully.
Yeah. And that's another thing I found out when I was actually like, you know, boots on ground in Nashville, is like, as someone who doesn't live there and doesn't go there much, it's like, when you think of like the music scene there, it's just like, you only think of, you know, the bands that you see at these bars and everything. But when you go, you meet like, I don't know, like producers, just songwriters, and that's it. And like, it really is such a wide ranging, like, community, it's really cool.
It's like, you know what, and I'm wondering, I'm figuring out that everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody, dude. I tell people my favorite place to be is my house. It's very rare that you'll see me out and about, mainly because I'm very poor and I can't afford anything. But when I do go out and I meet people, this person knows this person, they played with this person, done this here. And I'm just like, wow, man. I always tell people it is a big city, small town. It really is, truthfully.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. So let's talk a bit about your sound, because that's what grabbed me right away. Was I'm a sucker for like bluegrass folk kind of stuff. And
yeah,
that's what stuck out immediately to me. And I guess just quite simply, like, how would you describe your sound?
You know, it took me a long time to figure out what I wanted to be. I think if you're just listening to my voice, bluegrass built the way I sing.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up doing a lot. My father's a 3-time national championship harmonica player. He is,
oh wow,
he specializes in bluegrass, which back then when he was doing it, my dad's been doing it for about 50 years. It was, there wasn't any harmonica in bluegrass. That's not something that you're going to traditionally find. It's usually blues or, otherwise, but, he kind of paved this way in bluegrass. And so that's what I grew up singing. I would travel all over and go to different jamborees and sing Johnny Cash or Patsy Cline or just folk songs that were written 1900s, 1800s, you know. And I realized that that's really what shaped my voice to be the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I think about my voice writing, I love metal. I love metal and I love rock and I love alternative. And you know, it's funny. Growing up, I didn't see these parallels between those genres, but there really is such a parallel between them. I think both are built on such like a state of depravity or pain or an emotional conversation. And I never really linked that, but I think that a lot of my writing comes from that. So yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I told myself I didn't like country or bluegrass or anything like that growing up. For there's many reasons, but that's not true at all. I think that I just had to dig a little bit deeper and look at the roots of all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting you do say like the parallels between like the rock and metal and country, because that's something I've also noticed very recently. Is like, I'm no songwriter by any means, but like you could, like, it is like the same themes like when it comes to writing, I feel like are very alike in those two genres. And the crossover, like the fan crossover, I know a lot of metal dudes who love country and other way around, like, so that it makes perfect sense.
Well, you know, there's a lot, you know, you don't even realize that there's like country metal crossover, like Sons of Maylene. Have you ever heard of?
No, I'll have to check that out.
After this, I'm going to need you to go check that. I actually made a playlist combining the two genres because I was like, I need people to really see, like, this is a thing.
Yeah.
I remember listening to when I was in the Appalachian Mountains at a festival. I used to do something called the Homecoming of Appalachia. It was at the Museum of Appalachia every year. And I would, of course, have my, this is back when you had big iPods that you would walk around and listen to, but I had downloaded all of My Chem. And of course was walking around listening to My Chem while all these bluegrass players, but it just seemed like it made sense. You know what I mean? I think they're just two genres built out of depravity, really.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like, I'm one that sticks out to me, Hank Three. Like, he's been around, he hasn't put anything out in forever, but like his Hank Jr.'s, have you heard of Hank Three?
No, I haven't.
It's Hank Jr.'s son. So like, he's like the third generation, and it's straight, that you gotta listen to that then, because that's like straight up like punk country music. I think he's the only one who can make this kind of music. It's so good. But anyway, yeah, I could go on for hours.
I'll have
hours
to check it out,
that.
Dude.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll add it to the playlist. I'll check him out. I'll write it down and add it. That's sick.
For sure. But also, like, kind of going off like your sound, like with it being like that kind of, like, aside from what's been popular and country music, like the pop country stuff, right? That everyone
yeah.
complains about all the time. But either way, I feel like nowadays, at least from a fan point of view and observing, like that folk rootsy kind of stuff is starting to really pop off again and like become yeah. more mainstream. Like, you know, the easiest example to think of, like Zach Bryan, for instance, is massive and everyone loves Zach Bryan. And it's kind of cool. Do you see that as well? Like with that coming yeah. back?
Well, you know, actually that's one of the reasons that I felt safe enough to come back. When I looked at people like Zach Bryan or Sierra Farrell or Tyler Childers or even Noah Kahan, look at Noah Kahan's stuff. I mean, does he have a twang to his voice? No, but you can hear mandolin and banjo in his instrumentation. And yet he's singing about new age things that are very real, but I can hear the folk influence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those artists, Colter Wall is another, that's probably one of my biggest inspirations. Coming back to my roots, because here's the thing, when I was growing up singing bluegrass and very much so indulged in that world, there was nobody my age. There was nobody that looked like me. And so I was like, this is dead and dying and done. It's mm-hmm. irrelevant. I love alternative. I must do alternative music because that's what I resonate with. And nobody cares about this genre. But every time I'd open my mouth, man, it just sounds the way I sound. It was just very folky and I just couldn't stick the landing on alternative. So I thought, man, maybe I'm not good enough to do music. I'm going to quit. So I did. I stopped for like 7 years, you know, but thank God for people like that who kind of this awakening is coming back to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Was that like, what if you want to dive into it, if that's okay, like when yeah. what made you come back, aside from like, you know, that kind of music being popular, was that like the main thing or was there like other stuff that really drove you to get creative again?
Yeah, I would have, truthfully, this was all an accident. and it might not look like that. If you look at my socials, you'd be like, no, you're clearly doing this thing. But when I started doing this, it wasn't to do music. It was to outlive my depression. I got really, really sick at the end of 21. And was hospitalized. And then shortly after that, I got sicker and I couldn't walk and I couldn't drive. And this was at the end of a 7 year span of not doing music, of telling myself, I can't sing. I'm not good enough here. I can't write. You know, I don't even know what I would do musically. So I gave up. So I stopped for a very long time and I got very sick. And ultimately the reason I came back to it is, and you know, not to be extremely dark, but I just wanted to be done. I was so done. It felt like what little purpose I had physically was taken away. So what good was I at that point? What could I have to offer? And I just said, you know, God, if you're going to keep me breathing, like what do you want from me? Yeah. You know, he said, well, you can still think and you can still speak. And so I said, all right, well, if I'm going to keep doing this thing, I'm going to learn how to love myself and start dreaming again, because I really did not allow myself to do that for a very long time. So I decided I was going to put up one video on TikTok. I had nobody that followed me. I was like, this is safe. It is a trash can of saturation. Nobody's going to find me. And I'm going to throw something at the wall and whatever. And of course I felt like I was going to throw up when I did that, but I put up one video and I still left it. I've left all my stuff up to this day so people can see the transition of where I was to where I am. Cause I think that that's also very important. But I put up one video and it was, I had really thought so poorly of myself for so long that the outcome of that video shocked me. There was not one comment. There was not one thing that somebody said that I had really thought about myself. It was all very supportive. And I said, all right, I think I have something to offer through my journey of the things that I've learned up until this moment. I'm going to put up one video a week, whether that's me talking and trying to encourage other people, or it's me just singing a song I wrote the day before, whatever. Not a big deal. I can delete it tomorrow. It's all, this is trivial compared to where I've been So I did that. I put up one video a week for a year, and it has gotten me to where I am now. I never even thought I'd get to put up a single, but I'm just now, in the next 2 months, I'll have released my first EP, and, man, I got some other stuff that's coming up and I'm so excited, but I just didn't think I'd get here. This was, people say, you know, they all do music for a different reason. And I'll say it till the day I die. People listen, they don't listen. You know, I share it or I don't share it. This is really just to encourage other people and to outlive the spot that I was in.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'll ever stop now. It's all honestly, selfishly for me.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for me, and it's changed my life, man.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're back, first off. And also, like, it's very important, in my opinion, for people to be candid like you just did right there. Because, like, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of, I don't feel like it has to be, just the music, when someone gets into music, I mean, like, a lot of times, is there a lot of people just, like, they just give up, right? Like, for any reasons, like, whether
right. They're
just not getting anywhere with it, or if they have had troubles, like, kind of like how you had, or, like, it's important for artists to be candid like that, I feel like. I've never talked to anyone who was that open about it, so that's very interesting. And,
well, I appreciate that. I feel like that's the whole point of this, you know. And I talk to a lot of artists too, and my question always is to them, and I think people are always a little taken back, and I go, what drives you to do it? You know, I think before, another reason that I gave up before is I did it because I was like, this is fun and I can. But it quickly became unfun, as anything will in a, you know, when you're working on something for a long time.
Yeah.
There's always ebbs and flows of things. Even if you love it and your passion, there's going to be something that sucks about it.
Yeah.
And I had nothing driving me to do it, you know. And so at the end of the day, my purpose here is just to encourage people to do the things that they believe that they weren't worth doing, and they don't have to share it. You can, it's great, it's wonderful if you want to. And if you like it, somebody else is probably also going to like it. I think we're all really alike in that way. But at the end of the day, I think it's so important to talk about those things, because that's why I'm here. That's it's what kept me going.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. Let's talk a bit about, like, your writing. Obviously, that seems like one of the most, you know, the thing you're passionate about most is your writing. So I guess, first off, do you co-write a lot, get with other people and write, or are you mainly just you?
I isolated myself for so long. I'm just now starting to learn how to co-write. Everything I've put out and am putting out have been solo writes. I've probably written myself like maybe 40, 45 songs at this point. Probably over that. But would I use all of those? Probably not. I'm just now starting to learn how to feel like I'm good enough to write with other people. That's another thing, is I really did tell myself for so long that nobody was going to want to write with me. Nobody was going to want to sing with me, because I don't even know what I'm doing. And I don't even know the string names on a guitar, dude. I don't know how to play bar chords. I can't tell you what key I'm singing in. I don't know nothing. And so I really did convince myself that I wasn't going to be good enough to do that. But that's changing too. Thank God for it. And so I have a co-write tomorrow. You know, I'm just now starting to step into that. And I do believe that co-writes are such an important thing, because it teaches me, first of all, it just teaches me in general how somebody else thinks about something. But it, you know, it grows you at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, also, like, it has to have some kind of, like, you have to have, like, a certain mind frame going into that. Like, whether it's, like, maybe be prepared to, like, be criticized more, or, like, you know, I don't know. Like, was that kind of, like, a mindset you had to really get yourself in?
Yeah. I really, what you got to ask is, who are we writing for at the end of the day? You know, and whoever that is gets the say. And it can be, it's super collaborative and super helpful. And, but I think that's something that I've learned to determine right off the bat, is whose song is this? And then with that, I'm actually a pretty confrontational person. So with that, I'm able to be like, okay, I'm going to steer this ship a little bit. But if you would have asked me this question maybe 6 months to a year ago, I would have said, I have no idea how to communicate that or even figure that out. And now I do. And I actually love criticism, and I love hearing people's alternative ideas to what I have, because that's the whole point of a co-write. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And that's important, I think. And kind of let's tail off that and talk about Along for the Ride, which I believe came out earlier this month, right?
Yeah, when did that come out? Last week?
I wrote
last
down
week or the week before. It was like maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't know what day it is.
I wrote down, yeah, me neither. It's about to be November already out of freaking nowhere. It's insane. But anyway, let's talk about it. So I guess just first off, love the song. That's the one that I heard first and got me hooked on your stuff. So
oh really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. It was.
Yeah. Very yeah. And I guess just if there's any like themes or meanings behind it, if you wanna, you know.
Yeah, actually would love to talk. Nobody's asked me about this song, so I'm super excited to tell you. I wrote this song about not knowing a daggone thing about the music industry.
Okay.
That's what this song is about. I talk about it, you know, I pride myself on my work ethic. I've been working since I was 14. And everything I've done in life, I've hit my ceiling. You know, whatever job I've had, I've been promoted to the top. And then I can't go any further. I move on to the next thing. And I've had a few different careers. I was even in a salary position at one point. I think I was 22 by the time I hit salary. Like, I work very hard. And when I started doing music, I realized I felt like I was never going to know everything. And this is not going to be something where I can hit my ceiling. This is not a ceiling type mm-hmm. job. And it's purely going to be off of the emotional drive and the creativity. That's the only way I'm going to be able to measure how to make this work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I wrote this song, it was about feeling really lost and like, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel a little bit like a fool, honestly. And so that's what this song is about. But it's also just, I think in general, just translates to, you know, I don't think any of us are going to ever have life all figured out. It's all mm-hmm. of our first time living. And I think it's just really important to give yourself grace, because, you know, you've not been this age before. Every yep. day is an age that you've not been. So that's really what the song's about.
Yeah. And when you connect, when your songs connect with fans, whether it's you see the results or like the reception off a single you just put out, or if someone in person's like, hey, I really love whatever song it is, that has to be like an insane feeling, right? Like I couldn't imagine as an artist that like it connected like with this random person.
Yeah. Well, it's always the songs that I'm like, nobody's going to care about this, that people are like, oh my gosh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I always said this, and I still believe it to be true. You can write a really good song that 100 people hear and say, that's a good song. Great. Mm-hmm. And then they walk away. But if you can write a song that one person hears and said, that was meant for me, it's going to feel so much better. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is why I'm never concerned about being viral. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned about people knowing who I am. That sounds terrible, but I just, and maybe it's bad for me, but I couldn't give a rip. I really mm-hmm. don't care, because to me, I think the value just comes from the connection. And I always tell people connection over cool is going to win every single time. I want you to see yourself in what I do. I want everything to be kind of a mirror. I'm going to write it for myself. I'm not going to think about you when I'm writing it. But like I said, we are all way more alike than we think we are.
100%. And like writing a song and putting it out for that matter, like that's just such a, like a personal thing for an artist. Mm-hmm. And like the fact that it like connects with basically everything you just said, the fact that it connects with so many people. It's insane how that works.
It really is. And it's probably the most rewarding thing. I really, every time I get, you know, I don't look at my numbers. I'm not a number-based person because I don't believe that it depicts the value in anything that I do. It was valuable when I made it. It was valuable if it helped me. You know what yeah. I mean? But every time, sometimes I'm just reminded when I go and see, oh my God, look at these comments and look at their contents, or wow, this song just got 5,000 spins this week. That's crazy. I had my stuff on private for 7 years. I thought no one was going to care. You know what I mean? So yeah. it's always really cool to see what people resonate with. It's interesting.
Yeah, especially in with the music industry and like the social media TikTok aspect of it all yeah. now, how important that is. And there's definitely, you know, value in it. Like, it's a good tool. If you could really like work that TikTok app and figure it out, like, I'm sure it's a wonderful thing. Like, I do this podcast. I still don't even know how to check how many listeners I have. I could have like zero people, for God's sake. But have you been able to kind of like evolve with that as time's gone on with like all that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Well, it's so funny that you're talking to me about this, because I had just talked to somebody about this the other day. I preach this all the time. There is such a value in social media. But just remember that if your stuff doesn't do good, doesn't mean it isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Trash blows up and good things go unnoticed all of the time. I see it all the time with artists on my page. Because let's be so for real, I either have dog videos, cooking videos, or music show up on my For You page. That's what it is. And I see artists all the time that are incredible, so talented, 20 likes. Mm. 20 likes. And I'll pop on there and encourage them and keep going, you know, because I think it is especially TikTok is such a quick tool that people use to kind of like just yeah. take their minds off of things and scroll. But you'll find the right people. You just have to keep going. And it might be slow. It might not be fast. That's fine. You know, I think too, we look at when we're scrolling, we see a bunch of big numbers and we expect, okay, well, unless I have big numbers like that, then I'm not important. And that's just not true, you know? So I'm really grateful for TikTok. It gave me the fearlessness that I have now to be able to post. I'm not really concerned about it. Now I used to feel like I was going to throw up every single time because the internet was scary to me, but it's truly changed my life. And I can't say that I've figured it out. I just post what I like and then I move on. If I like it, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I just have to like it, you know? And I want to be super vulnerable on there. And that's another thing that I tell people all the time is, be yourself. You don't, that sounds so cliche, but man, you don't have to do something interesting. You're already interesting enough just being who you are, and people are going to resonate with that. Let people know who you are.
Yeah. And people could see right through that fake stuff too. That's also a cliche, but like in reality, it's just like, you could see right through that stuff.
It's so true. You know, I couldn't agree more with that.
Right. So, let's talk a bit about what you might have coming up, like song wise, shows. What do you got, coming down the pipe?
Well, I am excited. In the next few weeks, I have a song dropping. You're the first person to know about it. This song is probably the most important song to me that I've ever written. This is a song about my depression and what it felt like to be in that spot for so long and sometimes feel myself slipping back into it. It's a song called High Road, and that's going to come out November 14th. It was a song that we actually, if you want me to be a little nerdy about it, the scratch track is what I used my vocals for. I never did a Vox Day for that song. We all just sat in a room and we played the song and it just felt right to leave it. It's probably the most important song that I've ever written. And it's the hardest song for me to sing live, which I've done twice now, which I'm very proud of. But yeah, I have an EP release show coming up, and it'll be in Nashville. I can't say when that is yet, but it'll be next year, early next year. So I'm very excited about that.
Heck yeah. Well, we're excited for that too. That's going to be great. I can't wait for that song. Jess, thanks a lot. This is a lot of fun. Thanks for hopping on. And last thing, social media, website, any of that where people could find you, the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's just Jess Woodland. That's it. Just Jess Woodland's my handle.
Right on, right on. You guys make sure to follow Jess. Also, Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us, will pop up. We're on everything. So, Jess, thanks a lot again. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, man. My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips.